Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Down the block, Andrew John. Inside for Elba. Elba will score. Elba will score. Newcastle has won.
Storm defeat the Broncos 34-32. What a game of rugby league. Now, defence, like I know a lot of people have had, you know, negative comments about defence, and yes, there were some tries that you'd go, that's not up to premiership standard defence. But I'd argue a lot of the tries that were scored were just crazy good attacking footy. And so I'm not too worried about either side's defence. I do think that both teams showcased that they are probably Penrith are head and shoulders at the moment, as in premiership favourites. But I think the Storm and Broncos showcased that they are still a step above the rest of the comp at the moment. It was an incredible game of rugby league. And if you're the Storm, Nelson Asofa-Solomona came back on the weekend. Did he end up getting suspended or not?
Yeah, I think he has got suspended, yeah.
Well, that sucks. But long term, this Melbourne Storm side with Nelson coming back, with that spine playing together, it's exciting times for Melbourne.
To be fair, Nelson played the week before.
Okay.
So, was Craig going to bring him back?
You'd have to assume his aim is to bring him back, surely.
Like, I mean, if I had Nelson, I would have brought him in straight away. I wouldn't have brought him through.
So but like, even if there are like issues or whatever, you'd have to assume that the plan is to work through those issues to get him back to the good shape that he needs to be in to be in first grade. You wouldn't. It'd be very strange if their plan is to for him not to play again.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, no, it's just interesting that he played the 2 weeks in cup.
I'm with you. Yeah. Like, even if he is coming back from an injury, surely you can get 20 minutes off the bench for him.
Especially when you're running with three guys that are playing 20 minutes off the bench.
Yeah.
Wasn't the word that Bellyache wasn't happy with how he came back to preseason conditioning-wise, and he said, this isn't up to our standards?
Yeah.
So I'm with you, mate. It's Nelson Asofa-Solomona. There'll be a plan to get him back in the NRL team. For sure there will.
Yeah.
Like they, as well as they're doing,
you just they, still, deal.
They still need him as a middle. And it'll just be, you know, whether it's attitude, whether it's, you know, getting him into shape to be ready for the, when I say ready for the NRL again, you know, he has had some injury concerns, but getting his fitness up to scratch. Look, he's played in the NRL for a long time and he's been one of the best middle forwards for a long time. He'll be back, he'll be fine. But, mate, this is what has made Melbourne the most consistent club for a decade, 2 decades, is their standards. And from the reports coming out of the club is that Nass didn't meet them this preseason. Bellyache's gone, okay, we'll come back through reserve grade.
Yeah. Did you watch the game on the weekend?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah.
As in
Oh, no, the reserve grade. Yeah, no, I didn't. Sorry, no. I was like, what the fuck is this?
How dare you, sir. Guru, not watching an NRL game? Let's talk about Jerome Hughes.
Just before you go, performances, Kempy, I couldn't agree more with the sentiment around like the defensive issues and that. I watched this game and I was just going, the execution in attack was just masterful from both teams. As you said, okay, you can pick out a few things defensively that certainly the coaches won't be happy about, but the attack was so good and so in sync for both sides. Mm. I was just like, this was probably my favourite game of footy this year, just the quality of it, the points. I absolutely loved it. And, yeah, sure, there'll be things to fix defensively, but the attack, just two fantastic footy teams.
And you can see in this game, as you said, Kempy, it's these two, Penrith, and for me, the Warriors are the four best coach sides in this competition.
Yeah, at the moment, if you had to lock in your four teams that could win the comp, it is Broncos, Storm, Penrith, Warriors.
Yeah,
in my opinion, everyone outside of that, you know, is potentially could win the comp. But right now, if a final series happened, I would be shocked if a grand final wasn't between two of those sides.
Yeah, those are the big four.
That's not to say that teams outside of those four we just mentioned can't win the comp just right now, form-wise, and just the way the standard of footy that they've played. And obviously, you know, Broncos, I mean, the crazy thing with the Broncos is they were missing like Piacora, Wilson, Haas, Walsh, Reynolds for the second half. So it's going to be good when they get them all back. But back to the Storm. Another thing as well, think about the crazy attack we saw. 85% completion rate for the Storm, 86% completion rate for the Broncos. Like, what a good game of footy. What a good game of footy. Okay, in regards to the Storm. So, in the off-season, Bellamy basically came out and said my key players didn't play as good as they should have last year. So, my assumption is that he, you know, put a rocket up them in the off-season, and no one has responded better more than Hughes. He has been phenomenal this year. And on the weekend, just reminded everyone, as I said, a couple of years ago, it was Cleary, Hughes, and that was it. Like, there was no argument about it. And then I think last year had a quiet year, and a lot of people kind of started leaning towards, you know, your Mitchell Moses, your Hines. But I think on the last night, he cemented himself as, no, he is, you know, top three for sure, top two probably. But also, just the unique way he plays seven. His kicking game is becoming like so much better. It's crazy. I think they got five repeat sets, and I think all of them were off use. But he has, because he is a fullback at heart, his running game is essentially as good as most top tier fullbacks. So as a defensive line, it is a nightmare to defend a guy that his kicking game is getting better and better each week, his passing game is getting better and better each week, but at the same time has the same running game as a fullback.
And that's where you got to give so much credit to Craig Bellamy that, you know, when he made the decision years ago when, you know, I think they lost a grand final with Brodie Croft, and then he made the decision to go with Husey. He didn't coach the halfback that he wanted. He coached the halfback that he had. Mm. He built him around his strengths. He didn't force him to play like this guy, play like that guy. He just let him play like Jerome Hughes and just add these little elements to your game. And, you know, when you consider as well, like, Cam Munster also was a fullback playing 5'8". He's built an incredible halves pairing around these two, and they are just so unique in their position compared to everyone else.
Mm.
Bellamy just lets them do their thing. It's unreal.
Mm.
The sign for me in the moment of the game for Jerome Hughes, and there was plenty of them, it was in the first half, I think pretty early on, and got the ball, it was fifth tackle, it was in his own half, and I think it was a defender rushed up on him, beat the defender, shaped kick again, feigned, and just saw the half a gap open up in front of him. He just goes, I'll back myself. He just took off, went straight through the middle of the Brisbane Broncos, one of the best middle defensive outfits in the competition. Ran about 40, 50 metres, kicked for Xavier Coates. He sort of half-bottled it. Should have been a try. But that is the sign of a halfback at the peak of his powers, completely confident in his game. If he gets that wrong, he gets absolutely roasted. But he's like, nah, I'll take it on. It paid off. I don't think for periods of last year he had that level of confidence. He went quiet for a little bit. Great sign.
That's a sign for as a halfback that the game has slowed down for him.
Yeah.
He's just seeing it all perfectly.
And here's another really important part of his game that's just getting better and better. And this is the part of your game that takes a few years to kind of develop. And we always talk about being patient with halfbacks. So just a game plan to get to a specific player that has been identified as a mismatch and also identified maybe as a bit of a spot. And what is a spot for people listening? You're in a video session, a spot is, okay, guys, we've identified this player. If you put pressure on him, you know, run, you know, big bodies at him, has a tendency to miss tackles. So what do? They just get to certain points on the field. Hughes just goes straight at Ezra Mam and sends big Katoa at him. And Katoa ends up scoring two tries from that. Now, the first one, I have no problem with Mam missing that tackle. The first one where he gets in front, gets bumped. Mm. I have literally zero problem with that because Ezra Mam, it's like, the only time I have problems with situations like that is when they don't put their bodies in front. If you put your body in front like Ezra Mam did and you get bumped, I go, that's rugby league.
Completely fine.
Yeah, fine. You had a dig, didn't work. It's all good. And then the second one, to just know that he's going to be a bit hesitant now with his decision making to go back there again, and then obviously Katoa goes through untouched. But then it gets even better. So they identify a spot, Then they have the wherewithal to have a game plan, which Hughes is running, to get to that spot, which gets them essentially 12 points, or at least 8. Then the next half, the first time they get down there, what do? They send Katoa at Mam, but instead of hitting a short line, he does the wraparound play. And you just go, that's such a fucking smart game plan, because Ezra Mam's going to bite so heavy on Katoa. The defense outside of Katoa is going to sit there, shit, maybe Ezra's going to miss the tackle, so I need to be closer. That's the sign of a good half.
Play of the week for me.
So
it
good.
Was incredible. And even like the touch that Papi had, like the ball went from Eli Katoa to Papi to Warbrick. A split second. Like no one held it for more than half a second. It was unbelievable.
Was rugby league poetry, that wasn't it? There's nothing better than a good wraparound getting executed, doing it that well. Warwick had Arthur's beaten by about 2 metres on the flank. That's how well they had it done.
And like, think of the soft hands from Katoa. We're talking about a big, big back row. We're talking a guy that's literally just steamrolled Ezra. And he has also the skill set to have soft hands wraparound, which is super hard to time.
And if he puts it here for Papi, the play is screwed. Yeah. It's done. It's over. He got it in the perfect spot.
And that's a good half can build into game. I mean, that's what Joey was so good at. Like, Joey was so good at, he didn't get you maybe in the first 20, but he would just come at you, and just apply, just turn the screws a little bit more, and then eventually you'd break. And that's what I loved about Hughes' game, is that obviously he got the rewards initially, but he was so committed to the game plan that he didn't go, well, I've seen Katoa literally run straight over Ezra. He could have easily gone, well, I'm just going to keep doing that. And then obviously Ezra would have adjusted, the Broncos would have adjusted and probably made the tackle. Instead, he said, no, I'm committed to the game plan. The game plan is we guard him in the first half with short lines, and then in the second half we start doing wraparound plays. It was just a masterful performance by Hughes.
And once again, just expresses what we said before about a well-coached side, that all are on the same hymn sheet. They know exactly who they're targeting, where they're going at, where they need to be on the field for that play the ball, for the two play the balls before. Really good rugby league.
What do you think of the Storm, mate?
Yeah, they were very good. And you were speaking before about DCE against the Panthers. Would they have won the game without him? They probably wouldn't have. I think without Jerome Hughes, the Storm don't win that game against the Broncos. Look at their previous game. They lost to the Knights 14-12. He was obviously a big out. But, yeah, they look good. You're right. These guys, both sides, a bit of a step above the rest. But just seeing them all come back in, particularly for the Storm, Munster, Hughes, they look very, very impressive, and it was a hell of a game.
Now, someone else, Harry Grant, he is just like, when he's playing your team, he is a migraine. Because you're just like, fuck, can you just give us just that? Any time he can put pressure on you, he puts pressure on you. And if you're a fan, obviously I'm a fan of the Broncos, I'm just sitting there going, can you just give us a second? Just give us fucking one set where you're not constantly probing our forwards and making them panic. He does it better than anyone I've ever seen, of just making forwards panic.
Try being a fan of a team that had him for a year and then let go of him again. Makes it even worse. Even worse.
He is incredible, though, like his ruck recognition, and there's a number of hookers doing it at the moment that's unbelievable. But I feel like when you're watching on TV and you can see the ruck from aerial, it's easier to, in my opinion, it's easier to tell on TV when hookers should go sometimes when they're out there. And sometimes Harry goes and I'm like, no, it's not the
nothing
right
on.
Play. You've missed this. And he just makes it happen.
He makes it work. Yeah. He makes it work. His ability to just increase tension in the defensive line, it's something I've barely ever seen
imagine
before.
Imagine defending on the back foot as a forward pack and having Harry Grant doing that one-handed scoop up, and he's got Munster on his left pushing up in support, Hughes pushing up on the right in support, and Papi in behind him just going, holy shit.
Yeah. There must just be cues that Melbourne identify in markers, because they've done it for 25 years now. Between Smithy, Brandon Smith jumped in there for 15 minutes and won Dally M Hooker of the Year. Craig and Harry Grant just keeps doing it. Now, I'd love to know what the cues are with markers and A defenders that they see that just, this is the moment.
They never miss an opportunity. Yep. Like, as soon as you see one marker, you know, as a fan of obviously the Broncos, I'm sitting there going, please just play it safe. They go, no, we're putting pressure on you. And the ability for players outside of him to identify, that's all effort areas. Very rarely, and I'm sorry to put the boot in, the amount of times Damien Cook got out and there was no one with him was unbelievable on the weekend. Like, and yet you go and look at Egan, he's got four people to choose from. And so Cookie looks like he's having a bad game. No, Cookie's trying. No one's frigging going with him. Like, literally no one.
I feel so sorry for Cookie at the moment.
I 100% do too. I think he's had a red-hot crack this year and he's been let down by the people around
him. How frustrating was it? And we'll get to it, that moment that Cookie got out this weekend and he actually came to a complete standstill waiting for someone just to come with him. And then he passed it. He's just going, what the fuck is going on
here? What's crazy is no one even arrived late.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's not even like, oh, it's too late to pass it. Literally just was, everyone just stood there and looked like.
Yeah.
And whereas the Storm are probably the best in the comp. As soon as Harry goes, they are all pushing through.
We'll get to it soon. We won't go too far into it, but the Warriors, that exact same thing with Egan at the moment. When he goes, he's just got blokes everywhere.
Everywhere.
And I think one of the biggest gains by the Tigers at the moment is that the forwards have worked out how to work with Appy. So sometimes he's too smart for them, but they've worked out just to push with him.
Okay, outside of that, I thought Munster, good solid return. Xavier Coates' try where he caught that ball. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Unbelievable stuff. I will say, sorry to be negative, but Warbrick's got to sort his form out. Holy. Honestly, I reckon Bellamy would be close to going, mate, you've got about a game or two.
Yeah, bloody hell. Yeah, he's got a lot of errors in his game. And I know he's still new to the game, but it's been, we're pushing 3 years now, aren't we?
Like, even if it's been 1 year, he set the standard with his own quality game. So there's no, me personally, and you might have a different opinion, if he was thinking in his head, oh, I'm still learning the game, like, hang on a sec, mate, you set the standard last year with an incredible season. So you can't now turn around and go, oh, well, I actually can't play that well.
Yeah.
Not saying that you were saying that, but that's the way I see it. It's like, no, he set the standard. He needs to stay at that standard.
So who really stood out for me, mate, and I think he's going to have so much upside for them, Sean Bloor.
So solid.
He's an out party, I reckon. He was fantastic.
I thought Howarth was great when he came on too.
Yeah.
Jeez, he's strong in contact.
Should be noted as well, and timing is just awful. But Joe Chan actually played Queensland Cup on the weekend. He played 80 minutes for the Brisbane Tigers. So
really?
Scored a try. Did pretty well. Like, I didn't watch, just looking at stats, but fuck, you don't really want to give Sean Bloor an opportunity.
Watch. It's really disappointing that you didn't watch, but it's all right. how fucking hard is it to get in that Storm side, though? Yep. You would have thought Chan walked straight back into it.
Yeah, well, yeah, we mentioned the standards of the Storm. Fairly A hasn't liked we've seen somewhere, but being an edge defender, back row, probably defensively, he's going, nah, back to reserve grade. We're winning games. I think that the game before he got dropped and had the hand infection, whatever it was, set up a really nice try for Pappenhausen. They won that one. Nah, not good enough.
Yeah, just, yeah.
Shout out to Joe Chan's lock forward in that game, 36-year-old Chris McQueen.
Oh, my God.
Oh, stop it.
Lightning.
Yeah, good.
Lucky last run there, Kemp, before we move on. Tyron Wishart, who's just made that 14 spot his own, coming on.
Great 10 minutes.
I think they were behind at the time. Yeah. Comes on and just runs like the biggest front row in the game to score a try. Had no right, put him back in front.
Like, if you want to know why Tyron Wishart is in that side, that's the play.
Yep.
That's the play. He's gone, you know what? I'm just going to run. I'm going to want this more than my opposition. Because that's what it was. Because he ran into Ricky and Baker. A massive front rower and Ricky, who's supposed usually a good defender, and just said, I want this more than you boys do. And won the game for him.
Such a brave line.
Yeah. And it was pure just desire. Yeah. He's a utility. He had no right. He should have got absolutely Sonny Bill W'd. Like, fucking dominated.
It was such a brave line that if he ran it, got smacked, got folded and dropped the ball, he'd go, what the fuck did you do that for?
Yeah, silly. That's doing? A dumb line. Yeah, you're a utility. Yeah. What are you doing running straight at a front rower? But no, he just wanted it more. He genuinely, that's why the game was won. He wanted it more than the players that he ran at, which is very Storm-like. I think their front rowers have done a pretty good job, I think, with a lot of questions around the Storm's forward pack. I think their front rowers have done a pretty good job this year. Have they, you know, set the world alight? No. I think they've been pretty solid, though.
I think they've been great. Imagine if we were sitting here in round five giving the Melbourne Storm pack a wrap and we're going, where's Nass?
Good point. It's a good point. Okay, now onto the Brizzy Broncos. Look, in the moment, you're like super frustrated because you're sitting there going, boys, that was one that got away. Like, we could have gone down there missing four or five players and just completely ambushed the Melbourne Storm at home. Then you take a step back and you go, look, if we had gone down there with a full strength side and lost by 2 points, we'd all be like, yeah, that's all right. Like, down at Melbourne, they're a premiership threat. You know, look at that spine. And so you've got to, take it into context. Yes, it was a missed opportunity, but I tell you what, it definitely sent a reminder to everyone that this Broncos side, when they get going and that attack clicks, it is genuinely unstoppable. It is unstoppable. It's seriously special. Ezra Mann looks like he's getting back to his best. Paddy Carrigan was absolutely outstanding. Tristan Saylor, aside from a kick or two at the end there, was outstanding. So, I think that when you look at the full context of everything with all the players out, the fact that they were so close to winning it, you can still walk away with as happy as you can possibly be with a loss. Like, obviously you're not happy you lost, but but it's the happiest you can be with that loss.
I want to give a guy a rap, Katoni Staggs, mate. 16 runs on the weekend. I'm trying to get his stats up here. I can't seem to find them, but I feel like over the last few weeks, he's sort of gone 12-plus hit-ups.
141 metres, 48 post-contact.
Yeah. Love to see it. Perfect. This is, we don't need you to have 30 hit-ups. If you can get close to that 15 number, you're going to put Brisbane in a bloody good spot week in, week out.
Yeah. What about his other centre, Selwyn Cobbo?
Yeah.
Mate, when he just got on the outside of Meany, it looked like he barely even touched his chest. He just went, it's like delicately just went, no, thank you. Just, mate, he is. And when he ran around the winger as well and threw that ball back inside, he is special. I tell you what, we were doubtful of his him playing centre. So far, it's been a masterstroke.
Yeah, I thought it would take a lot longer than what it has, for sure. Like, I thought it could take half a season, but I feel like it's taken 3 weeks.
Yeah, credit to Kevy for making the call and going. Because I think Cobbo came out and said he wanted to play centre. He was so good on the wing, like had a few errors in him, but again, pretty early on in his career, you could understand why. Like, no, mate, just stay on the wing, make that spot your own. Did it. His ball playing's been terrific. Mm-hmm. His work rate's been terrific. Good, congratulations to him, because it's been an overwhelming success.
And just some of the plays that he comes up with, you just go on. Like, there's not many centres at the moment doing that. Like, obviously there are centres playing extremely good footy, but he does. Like, he will risk everything. He will go for that play that most 9 out of 10 centres will go, probably a bit dangerous. He'll just go for it.
Yeah, and he came up with, you know, a poor play at the back end of this game that turned out to be a pretty costly one. But, I mean, the way that he just backs himself to come back against the grain and try and put a chip over the top into the middle on, like, with the game in the back. And, like, people say, oh, lost in the game, whatever. But just have the confidence to do that.
Well, I mean, if Reno's on the field, he doesn't do that.
100%, yeah.
It's just because there's no, like, you know, who's the kicker?
Staggs, 11, 12 runs this year.
Right.
As in, okay, so before and then on the weekend he had 16.
And 16 on the weekend.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But last year he was going in single digits.
Yeah, sometimes
often.
6 or 7. No, I think Staggs has been really good, and he seems to be playing like a senior player now, rather than a younger player that just get me the ball, I'll do something crazy.
There's been a few times over the last few weeks where he's caught it off the kick off the front row, has been there clapping his hands, he's just gone, nah, yeah. I'll just fucking go.
I'll take it. Love that. I feel sorry for Jesse Arthurs, don't get me wrong. You have to make that play. Like, a lot of people say Selwyn shouldn't have passed it. Maybe, but if you go back and watch the replay, there is a chance Warbrick holds him up. Like, if he lands that contact right, he could have held him up with Jesse Arthurs. I feel sorry for him to the degree that, like, of course he didn't mean to make that mistake. And also, he was outstanding outside of that. But you just got to make that play.
Yeah, you can nitpick all you want and say, could have done this, shouldn't have passed, should have run himself. Mate, it was, like, marginally high. He catches that 99 times out of 100 and scores. Mm. Up to that point, he was exceptional, Jesse Arthurs. Oh. His timing and his combination with Cobbo, it's come on so quickly. Yeah. I love Jesse Arthurs and what he's been doing. Mate, every winger at some point in their career, they have a barrier for a moment like that. It was a shocker, but it happened.
And, like, if you want to be, like, in his defence, it did kind of just, like, pop out of nowhere. Like, at full speed, as a viewer, I know we've got a different angle, but I'm sitting there going, oh, Selwyn can just bump Warbrick here and he'll go over. But yeah, you've just got to make that a play. Also, Katoni Staggs, he should just pass it off the deck to Billy Walters rather than running it. And so that's the frustrating bit, is like the game was there to be won. It was just two errors that really cost us. And also Fletcher Baker, second time he's been bumped by a much smaller man for a try. Yeah, Ricky and Baker, they've just got to do better. That's just, like, both of them, you know, the whole team had a red-hot crack. But in those moments, you cannot afford to switch off. You just can't. On your line, you can't.
Yeah, had a really good game last week, Baker. But as a whole, I think when you're full strength, he's not in my 17.
No, I think he needs a bit of time. It's the thing that's letting him down is just those little moments.
Yep.
It's just those tiny moments where he's on his line and he's not thinking, I will die before someone gets over this line. He's thinking, I'm just here to make a tackle. Like, someone's making a run, I'll make the tackle. Because if he's thinking, imagine this. You go back to that moment and he's thinking, I'll die before someone gets over that line. Wishart gets absolutely folded. Absolutely folded. And Ricky, obviously, as well, could have helped in that situation. So
Kempe, 68th minute. Broncos up by 2. penalty on the Melbourne line. Yeah. They take the two to go up by four. Melbourne score 4 minutes later. Strange. Do not rate it.
Yeah, didn't rate it at all. We had them under the pump. We had all the momentum.
Not even a hindsight thing. Like, just as soon as they went the penalty, it's going, why?
Well, I literally wrote in my notes, 2 points, why? Didn't make sense to me because, like, if you're not going to win the game by two, you're not going to win it by four. I didn't understand that. Like,
well, Melbourne went downfield. I think it was the Tyron Wishart try. I believe they converted that and went up by two. It's like, what have you done?
Yeah.
Does that happen if Adam Reynolds is on the field?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. I mean, again, we're talking about a side that was already down on troops and lost Reno in this, you know, and they were that close. So, as I said, in the moment, you get frustrated because you're like, opportunity lost, but you take a step back and you go, you know what? It's as happy as you can be in a loss. I was really happy with the boys. I thought they fucking ripped and teared.
I thought, you know, obviously speaking about Adam Reynolds, who missed the second half, I thought that when Billy Walters was forced just into that halfback spot, I thought he did really well.
Wasn't bad. Solid. Yeah, I thought he was solid as well.
How about Adam Reynolds getting a repeat set without a hamstring on halftime? And he went onto the blind side as if say, like, I'm gone, don't give it to me. I can't remember who it was. Might have been Walters or someone. It might have been Smoothie at number nine. Went left, went right to Reynolds. Reynolds going, oh shit, rolls it in, gets repeat set.
So good.
So he's done for the year, Reynolds. Is that the gist or?
For the year.
Or what's the go?
Oh, it's a hammy.
Yeah, so how long?
Pretty minor.
Probably, right, yeah, three or four weeks max.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It looked like, the way he reacted.
Well, it's because he's a knee.
Yeah.
You just assume it's to the knee.
Yep.
But it was, minor strain, they reckon. So I reckon 4 weeks.
It did look a bit scary on the night.
Fucking oath, it looked scary. Like, but it's just such a veteran, he knows.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as he felt that twinge in his hammy, if you haven't done your hammy before, you're like, oh, it's just a twinge, doesn't hurt that much. But if you've done your hammy before, you're like, done.
Yeah, well, I went to bed that night. Obviously, the Broncos said, oh, just a hammy. And I thought, I don't know if this is just a hammy. Yeah.
But to be honest, as a former Bronco, that's like fucking nowhere near as good as Adam Reynolds. But as a former Bronco, it made me super proud to see how much he fucking cared about being on the field.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that a guy that has achieved so much in the game is in tears at that age because he wants to be out there playing for the Broncos, you know, that's what you want as a club. Like that, as a fan, myself, that's what I want out of my seven. Could have very easily gone, look, I've done everything. Like, I know he hasn't won. Oh, he has won one comp. Like that's what you want to see. How many veterans do you see kind of get injured and they just, which is fine, like it's a part of the business. But in the perfect world, you want to see him hurting.
Going to play a quick game with you, Kempy. Who am I? 20 hit-ups, 177 run metres. 43 tackles, only one missed.
Patrick Carrigan.
Too easy.
The greatest man ever to live.
He's a friend.
If we lived 1,000 years ago, he'd be a tribe leader, I reckon. I can see him in some fucking little fur coats and shit.
He's so good, man.
He's so good. He does it every fucking week. Mate, he has the body feeling. He has his body getting through it. I will say, don't want him playing 80 minutes every single week, though. Save that, just that beautiful body, Paddy. Save it, baby. Save it. He was outstanding. Just a quick shout-out before we move on to Cora.
Oh, yeah, Big Ben. Oh. 24 minutes.
Mate.
12 runs, 115 metres.
And a try.
Well, and the thing that I liked about the try was that was in his second stint when he came. When he came on for the last 4 minutes and straight away goes, give me the ball. Keep the game alive. Bang. Went straight over. Absolute handful with the ball in hand.
If you have him and Willison coming off the bench this year,
yeah,
it's a fucking game changer.
Yeah.
It's an absolute game changer. And that's what I'm so excited about because I actually thought he was going to come into first grade and get dominated with just the contact because he's such a big body and he doesn't have his man strength yet. I thought people were going to get under him, wrestle him, and just turn him over. Mate. They were having nightmares. To be honest, it looked like Nelson Asafa Solomona was on the field, but for the Broncos.
Yeah.
They were having absolute nightmares tackling him. And that's the thing with him now. It's like the key for Takora is like there's going to be a part of you that's going to want to come out next week or the week after and go, not this is easy. That he would never say that. But like, fuck, I'm winning most of the contact here. I'm going to start offload. I'm going to start doing this because like I'm dominating contact. Nah. All you need to do is real simple. Run hard, tackle hard, and you will be unstoppable. Just don't complicate your game. Don't think you need to start putting in footwork or ball playing or any of that stuff. Just run hard and tackle hard and just like push the urge down because when you're winning contact, very easy to get excited and start doing crazy stuff. I mean, we've seen Nas do it at times earlier in his career. So you just got to keep it simple because Jeezy was good.
It comes at the expense of someone else. Obviously, Dean Marin is going to be out for a couple of weeks, but and he's been doing incredibly well. But God, I'm excited to see Corey Oates back on the wing.
Big opportunity.
Huge.
This is what happens in seasons. People get injured. So, yeah, anyway, good stuff from the Brizzy Broncos. Don't forget, KO is a sport, is a place to watch all 8 games of NRL each week. There is also plenty of other great content you can watch across so many different sports. Make sure you jump on KO to watch your team play every week.
Big back catalogue of Grubbs videos on KO as well. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, next rain delay in the IPL, go and help yourself.
There you go. Go and help yourself to some great Grubbs content. Speaking of getting some grub, every time your team wins, you get a free grilled burger. The Monday after the game, head to the link in the show notes and follow the prompts, which include picking your favourite team and signing up to grilled loyalty program called Relish. Then when your team wins, you get 2-for-1 burger voucher to use on the following Monday. So if you're listening to this audio-wise, like on Apple or Spotify, go to the show notes in the app and you can click straight through to the link to sign up. And as I said, literally takes 2 seconds and a free 2-for-1 voucher every single Monday your team wins. You're kidding.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Kidding. If you're watching on YouTube, obviously it's in the caption underneath the YouTube video. Make sure to sign up, and a massive thank you to Grilled for supporting the show.
Some hungry boys on the panel this week. I think Timmy's the only one enjoying a 2-for-1.
Yeah, I'm sweet.
Who are you taking?
Matty's down on his luck at the moment.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.